it's been years since the taking of the census in Bethlehem. But I remember it as if it were just yesterday. Kings have come and kings have gone. I'm old now, it is true. You can tell by my appearance that I have gained a few years in age. But at the time, I was young and quite impressionable. My father and mother have passed away. God rest their souls, but they were such wonderful people. Fine people. I wish you had known them. They were loved by all. They were wonderful parents. And they loved me, and I knew it. How rich I was. They never met a stranger. Never met a stranger. Our door was always open. Open to whomever came by. Anytime, any day of the week. And I can still remember it as if it were yesterday when we first arrived in Bethlehem to take care of the inn. Oh, gosh, my mother was so young and so beautiful. And she was so excited. She was so excited about her new home. She was so excited that she sparkled with radiant joy. Now, Bethlehem wasn't a large town, but it was the largest town we'd ever lived in as a family. And my father was so proud. He was proud to be the innkeeper. What a position to hold. You see, it was a position of importance. It was a position of responsibility in the community. And my father is the one who had the job. He loved his work, and he was as happy as any innkeeper, anywhere and any time. But at times, I have to admit, he could be stern. And he could handle himself when he needed to. He knew how to deal with all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances. You had to be that kind of leader to be an innkeeper. And it wasn't easy to laugh in those days. You see, the country was poor. People were eating hand to mouth. There wasn't wealth among us at all. Rome was always demanding of us, always demanding something. We could never fulfill their wishes at any time. Tension and revolution were always in the air. We wanted peace, but not at Rome's expense. Now, many people thought we were well off, that we had all the money in the world because we ran the inn. But we weren't. Now, I have to confess, we had bills to pay. A lot of bills to pay, and a lot of taxes to pay. Rome saw to that. And most of the time, the inn wasn't full. Just because my father was the innkeeper didn't mean that we always had people staying there. Often guests would slip out early. You know how that is. They would slip out before the crack of dawn, and they would mosey on their way so they wouldn't have to pay for lodging or for their meals. They just wanted to escape if they could. And the Romans. Oh, the Romans treated us more like servants or slaves when they came through. They came through town. They wanted everything for nothing, you see. They wanted free lodging and free room and board for them and their animals. There was no doubt about it. They even made remarks about our stable. We tried to take care of them the best that we could and take care of their animals. But they looked at our stable, made fun of it, and nothing seemed to please them. We did the best that we could to care for the animals with them. They said, the place looks like a prison. What do you mean it looks like a prison? But it was clean and warm, and the animals were cared for and loved with great affection. We treated them as if they were our own animals. That's just what my father was all about. Everyone, including the animals, had equal treatment. What you don't understand is that if the Romans hadn't been there, there would have been room in the inn. If the Romans hadn't been there, there would have been a place to stay, and people probably would not, at least hopefully not, be saying the unkind things that they've said about my father throughout the years. You see, don't you understand? It was not my father's fault. He was the innkeeper. He was not the emperor. And the emperor is the one who dreamed up this weird and crazy idea about a census being taken. The emperor didn't care whether people were sick or not. He didn't care whether they were blind or lame. He didn't care whether they were wealthy or poor. They all had to make the journey to pay their taxes. And the emperor didn't care at all. Didn't care at all, nor did he see your Mary and Joseph. When they came to our inn for a place to stay, for a place to find a little bit of comfort in their journey, we scarcely heard them knock. You can imagine what the noise was like with so many people coming to the town. People were standing all over the place. In one corner, they were telling stories very loudly and laughing at jokes that were being told. In another corner, some people were waiting for rooms, and some people were demanding rooms. There were people all about, wanting to eat, wanting to rooms. Will you take care of my luggage? Will you take care of my animals? I have things to do. Will you please take care of me? And Mother and I were kept busy all the time. They wanted more bread, more wine. Here, boy, carry my luggage. Carry my bags. Take care of our animals. One demand after another. I could scarcely hear myself think. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. And it had been like that for days, as you can imagine. And my father had the biggest job of all. He was the one who bore the most responsibility, long hours and little sleep. Tedious work, trying to keep people happy. Have you ever done that? It's a demanding and often thankless job. And my father had that job. And when he could finally answer the door, he fell over a man sleeping in the doorway. And when he opened the door, there they stood. The man was tall and stately and rugged looking. It looked as if he were capable of hard labor. And she, why, she barely came to his shoulder. And looked so young, so terribly young. And when they asked my father for lodging in a most respectful manner, they were both so very courteous and kind. My father laughed out loud and he said, "Here, look inside and see if there is an inch where a worm might rest. And if there is, you are welcome to come in." The demands of people were getting greater all the time. My father began to close the door. You could see inside there was not any place to stay, and the noise was unbearable. So he was prepared for them to move on. Just move on. And I just stood and watched. Ignoring the people around me, the couple fascinated me so. They seemed to be different than the regular travelers who were coming through. They must have fascinated my mother as well, because she ran after them. I can recall that so clearly. She ran after them just after my father had closed the door, said, "Come on back, come back." Well, you can imagine how my father responded. He was angry as could be. And he let my mother know it. "We don't have any place for them here." And then my mother, being my mother, pulled him down to size and whispered gently in his ear. Just gently. think you're doing? At first he was startled, as you can imagine. He stepped back for just a moment after she whispered sweet nothings in his ear. And then the anger sort of disappeared. Sort of faded away. The young woman was pregnant and expecting her first child. Her first child. At any moment, do you recall what it was like having your first child? It was her first child, and just any moment. And now his face changed. His eyes sort of lit up. He was a different man at this point in time. And it was then that my father, the innkeeper, the one that you have condemned for so many years, for so long, the one you have chastised down through the centuries, it was my father who found a place, the only place in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph could rest their weary bodies and bring a baby into the world. And it was given to them by my father. Oh, it wasn't much. I promise you that it wasn't much, but it was warm. It wasn't much, but it was protection. And I made them comfortable with blankets and food and something to drink, but I had to get back to the inn. There was so much to do. My father wouldn't let me stay long. There were other guests to care for. It was nice being with them, though, and I believe somehow or another, even the animals understood what was going on. Later that evening, I went outside to see what was happening. I just wanted to check on them myself. And it was then that I caught a glimpse of a child. And I remember it as if it were yesterday. It was so many years ago, though. So long ago, but I wanted you to know, as you go throughout your celebration, that it really wasn't my father's fault that there was no room. It really wasn't his fault. He couldn't help it. Don't you understand that the Romans were to blame, and maybe someday, somehow, we will be rid of them once and for all? Why, even now, as I'm speaking to you, even now, the Romans, they are up there on Golgotha. They're up there now, as is their custom with criminals, to execute them. They're up there now. With a man, crucifying a man, everyone says is innocent. Carpenter from Nazareth, a teacher. They say his name is Jesus. Don't you understand that the Romans were to blame? And one day, we will be rid of them. One day.